You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome, Space and Treasure Coast, to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on 1510 WWBC and on 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7 on your FM dial. My name is Ellen O'Neill. I have been Sita's co-host here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends for the last 15 years, and Sita is in Holland right now looking at beautiful tulips. So Allie Tambor and I are holding down the fort today with two fantastic guests. Groups of guests, I should say, that are with us today to talk about fantastic programs that are going on here in Brevard County. So I hope everybody had a great weekend. We were just discussing all of the fun things that we did. We had people that were traveling to Dayton, Ohio. We had all kinds of concerts and festivals here in Brevard. Just tells us one more time how fantastic, what a great place we live. Little slice of paradise. So with us today on the show, Allie.
Hey.
Hello. We have Community of Hope from Brevard with Drew Warren and Kayla Manning, and they're going to be sharing their passion for the children and families here in Brevard and make sure that no child ever goes homeless. And so we'll talk about their programs and the things that they have going on. And then on the second part of the segment, we have Eckerd Connects Prevention Services. We've got Talia Bryant and Lee McElroy. Not bad, right? Not bad. See, Sita, I even have trouble with names sometimes. We're going to be sharing the airwaves with us about Eckerd Connects and all of the great programs that they have going on. Again, supporting Brevard families right here in Florida.
Yay.
So I know. It's going to be a great show. So those of you who are listening out there, if you've make sure you get a pen and paper because there'll be lots of great information to be shared. And of course, we've got Ellie back there that's going to be filming all of this for us. So if you're on Facebook Live, you're probably going to get, or on Facebook in general, you'll be able to get that video of all of us here at the show. We've got us, everything is on our website, which is cedamediainc.com. And then we also share all of this great information on our social media channels, which is always Viewpoint with Sita and Friends or Sita Media Inc. So without any further ado, we've got these beautiful faces here in our studio here in Cocoa, on beautiful Cocoa, Florida. So Drew, why don't you give a warm hello and introduce Kayla.
Yes, I'm Drew Warren. I'm the CEO of Community of Hope, and I'm joined by Kayla Manning, who is our Director of Real Estate Operations. And I would like to just ask Kayla to say something because she is much better to listen to than me.
You have the list made up here. Yeah. So I guess I'll go ahead and do a plug for our Rise Up Titusville program.
Sure.
So in North Brevard, I am putting together our info sessions. We have everything from good tenancy to next and currently is health and wellness to positive parenting, home maintenance, home buyer, credit repair, all kinds of different classes. Our past classes are going to be online so you can watch them. And they're every Monday, 3:30 to 4:30, unless it's a holiday, at the Harry T. Moore Social Services Center in Titusville.
Excellent. So, and we'll get more information about that and how to sign up and all of those great things. And I also want to introduce and welcome Talia Bryant and Lee McElroy here from Eckerd Connects. Ladies, hello. Great to have you here with us.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Yes. So we'll be sharing all the great programs that you have with Eckerd Connects right after our first segment here with Community of Hope. Fantastic. So tell us, Drew and Kayla, so I'll let you, you know, banter back and forth.
We'll
tag
fight
team.
It out.
Exactly right. Tell us a little bit about Community of Hope and how you got involved with the organization.
So So Community of Hope has been around since 2004 is when we started. And we started as a faith-based organization doing transitional housing for families. Churches got together and said we were having a real problem with people coming to us that the families are facing homelessness and there's nowhere for them to go and stay together as a family. So they decided to launch a transitional housing program. But since then, I mean, that started as a great initiative. But that tiny little seed has grown significantly since then. That first year, we housed one family. And last year, we helped to house over 390 families here in Brevard County. So this is our 20th year, and we're excited to really have grown so much and to be able to help so many more people. Because that's ultimately what we're trying to do is just make sure that no child in Brevard County has to face homelessness.
So how did you get started with Community of Hope, Drew?
So I kind of had a two-mode career. I was in higher education as an administrator in higher education, but also in mental health. And so those two kind of both put me in the perfect position to get on the board with Community of Hope. I'd seen so many homeless students as an educator and so many homeless children in the mental health field that I just felt very passionately that there's no excuse for kids to be homeless. And so when I heard about Community of Hope, I thought I need to be on that board. And so that's how I started. And then, of course, a few years later, there was an opening on for the executive director, and I decided I would take that position.
Fantastic. And Kayla Manning, did you get into real estate first?
Yes. I am a realtor still. I do both jobs, but I actually met Drew because I'm the president of the Titusville Sunrise Rotary Club. And I was asked to reach out to him to have him as one of our guest speakers on Community of Hope. And at that time, they were developing phase one in Titusville at Hope Hammock. So they needed volunteers to help paint and things like that. We kept trying to get with them to paint, and every time it was either a storm or the windows, they were late and all kinds of different things, so we weren't able to actually connect. My car broke down.
Wow, this is a good story.
Yes, and I was like, okay, I need to get, I need to find a job that's different. Real estate is kind of hit or miss. And I decided I wanted to do something in the nonprofit sector. So I actually was discussing between Boys and Girls Club and Community of Hope. And so I reached out to Drew and I was like, hey, do you know? And I actually didn't ask specifically for Community of Hope, but I, reached out and I was like, hey, do you know anybody who's hiring? I'm trying to find something that's, I wasn't looking for a short term, but longer term, position.
And what a passionate way to use that real estate license.
Yes.
That's a beautiful, beautiful way to use that real estate license.
Yes.
Thank
you. Yeah. So we had.
And how long have you been on?
Since September, actually. Yes, September is. Yep.
So when I first met Kayla, my first thought was, I need to find a way to work with this woman. She is fantastic. She's energetic, personable. She brings so much to the table. And with as much as we've expanded, like I mentioned, the 390 families last year, most of those are scattered, all over in Brevard. We used to be very centered in South Brevard, but now with us being all over, it's important to have a presence in Titusville. And Kayla is absolutely wonderful. She knows everyone in Titusville, and she's been a great asset for us.
So. That's so awesome. So let's get into some meat here of what do you think the factors are behind increase in the homelessness in Brevard County? I mean, obviously we know, we've all been to the grocery stores, we've all been getting our tax bills and insurance bills and so forth have gone up so much. But usually everything kind of goes, people aren't necessarily homeless right after something like that. So what are some of the factors that are going on in Brevard County that are increasing that?
So if you look at what's called the point in time count, it happens every year. And it is the Homeless Coalition way of counting how many homeless people there are in Brevard. And it's a HUD-sponsored thing. It happens all over the country. And the last 2 years, we've gone up. This year's haven't been put out yet, but it will be up again, probably 10 to 15%. And it was 10 to 15% last year as well. But they only count a small portion, in my opinion, of the homeless population.
Well, because it's only the people they can find.
It's only the people they can find. It's only in a specific window of time. And it's only people who meet the HUD definition of homeless. And by that, I mean people who were either living outside or in a place not meant for human habitation the night of the count. So if you look at families, which is who we serve majority of, we do serve some elderly folks as well. We do serve some young adults who have come out of foster care. But the majority of our population that we serve is families. They often don't get counted very, very much in those counts because they're couch surfing. They are they're with friends or family that they might be able to stay a week or two, but they are not able to stay long term. Or else maybe they have the ability to get a hotel for a week or two at a time. Maybe somebody pays for that, but if they're in a hotel, that doesn't count as homeless.
Oh.
So it's a significant undercount, and in that significant undercount, we've seen a 15% increase year over year.
Wow.
So I think the factors there are kind of twofold. One is healthcare related, having to do with mental health and substance abuse issues, and those are huge issues and need one type of solution or a different set of solutions. I think the other factor, though, is economic. So if you look at families that are struggling with, you know, suddenly there's an increase in the prices, there's inflation. People that were on the cusp of homelessness 2 years ago are well beyond that now. And so you need kind of a two different types of solutions to help with those populations. And I do think you need an increase in health care. You need an increase in what's called supportive housing for people who really don't have the wherewithal to keep themselves housed. But for the economic side, what you need is an increase in affordable housing availability. You need an increase in services available to kind of support people in getting out of homelessness or to avoid homelessness altogether.
And throw in a little real estate piece in here too. I know that there's a lot of big companies that are coming in and turning a lot of the homes that could have been possibly affordable rents into VRBOs. And now we've created a whole nother industry. I'm sure just not in Brevard County. I'm sure it's happening everywhere. But Brevard County specific because we live here, we see that, right? So is that, again, another factor of the decrease in affordable housing that's available out there?
Yes, it is. And then homes also coming off of the affordability period and making sure we're paying attention to that as well.
Right. So, yeah. Pete, folks that are out there that are renting houses or that have homes that would be rented, I should say, or could be rentals, are they allowed to file for Section 8 so that they would be able to provide affordable housing, if that's possible? And is there a time limit on that?
So the problem with Section 8 is there aren't enough vouchers. And so they open up in windows for when people can get into those vouchers. And I'm good friends with Mike Bean at the Housing Authority. He is just an amazing, amazing man. Does a lot of great work, as do the housing authorities of Titusville and Cocoa. There are three housing authorities here in Brevard. But I think all of them would tell you that the number of vouchers they have available is far exceeded by the need. So I think what you have to do is not just have the vouchers available to folks, but also have an emphasis on developing more affordable housing units. And I've got, you know, there are ways of doing that. For example, I'll give you one way. We have 14 new units that we'd got in Palm Bay last year. We had got those units because there was grant money available through what's called the American Rescue Plan. And the city of Palm Bay graciously put out a request for proposals on what you would do with that. We happened to win a big part of that funding. And we purchased and renovated 14 units that are now permanently, forever, going to be affordable housing in the city of Palm Bay. By doing things like that, the cities and people who can fund these things can make sure that there's a permanent stock of affordable housing. A lot of times there will be grant funds that are put out that are associated with as Kayla mentioned, an affordability period. So like, let's say that the county has grant funds that they can put out to build affordable housing. They can have, you know, typically a 20-year affordability period. But once that affordability period is over, that can be sold back as regular housing. And so one of the things that you can do is make sure that you extend those affordability periods or do what work with Community of Hope, which is a land trust as well. And anything that we get goes into what's called permanent affordability. So we maintain the land is always affordable. Whatever's built on that land will be affordable.
That's fantastic. And the lack of shelter access as well is always a challenge, right? Not just the affordability. And you've mentioned some of the solutions of just be able to get, again, if you're out there and you've got a home that's sitting vacant, call Community of Hope. Call them, right? What's your website and phone number? How can people get a hold of you?
So our website is www.hopeofbrevard.com. And our telephone number is 321-474-0966. We would love to have more volunteers, more donors. A lot of what keeps us going is those private donors and the churches that are behind much of what we do. So we are not largely grant-based organization. We are largely privately.
But it's great that you're winning these grants, such like the city of Palm Bay. That's a huge factor. And I hope the cities are reaching out to you first and to organizations like Eckerd to make sure that they're getting into the right hands, right? That the right people are getting the grants. It's fantastic. So you talk about supplies and solutions, right? A lot. What are some of the things that you're doing at Community of Hope to increase? What are some of the events that are going on to increase the awareness about what all the great things that you all are doing there?
I'll say the next thing we have coming up.
I saw an arm wrestle thing go on. Almost happened.
The next thing we have is Holes for Hope. That's our golf tournament fundraiser at Rockledge Country Club. That starts at 8:30 on Friday. So you can go to our website
May 10th.
Sorry, what did I say?
This Friday.
No, register by this Friday, please. At our website, you can go on there and check the events, Holes for Hope, and register through the website there.
Yes, and the website is very easily, you can navigate it very easily. Everything is right there on the front page. It makes it very good as far as that goes. What are some of the other things that are going on as far as increasing awareness and letting people know? I mean, I get aware because every time I drive down certain streets, I see people with signs that they're homeless and hungry. And then, of course, the city wants to do something about that, you know, and I'm holding up my little quote fingers. You can't see on radio. They want to do something about that, but there's got to be a give and take, right? So what are some of the solutions
for events? So I think you bring up the homeless who are panhandling and that kind of thing. And there is a large population of homeless that do that. But the majority of the folks who are panhandling are not necessarily homeless. So one of the things that people, I think the awareness needs to happen that if you're seeing panhandlers and people asking for handouts, it's not, they're just the tip of the iceberg. They're you know, we're in the Titanic and they're the people at the top of the iceberg. And there's a whole lot of homeless that aren't seen. They are hidden. They are living in cars. They are living in campgrounds. They are couch surfing. They are doing everything they can not to bring attention to themselves. So if you're seeing an increase in the homeless population that's out and about in the city streets and that kind of thing, those folks need our help. And I'm not. But they are absolutely the tip of the iceberg. If you're seeing that, then that means the iceberg below it has significantly grown as well. And I think one of the things that is going to happen is that there's a new law going into place that people, and I hesitate to mention, but as the cities and county can now be held liable by by people suing because homelessness is affecting their businesses and that kind of thing. That's never been allowed before. And now it's in law that they can sue based on that. And I think now it's time for the cities and the county and all of us to get behind changing that and making sure that we're doing what needs to happen to keep people from being homeless, to keep a better solution to homelessness. And I think it has to start with shelter. And right now we're in a county that's fifth largest in terms of the homeless population in all of Florida. And yet we have zero shelters for people. So what we need to do is find a way to fund those shelters and build those shelters to avoid having bigger issues. And now's the time. You know, I could see us becoming much, much more like some of the areas that are urban areas like San Francisco, LA, even Miami, Houston, with the extent of the homeless problems that they have. But we're in a good position right now to stop that. But
I was going to say, much like the lagoon, right? We've got a lagoon issue going on, but there's a protocol. 20 years ago, Chesapeake Bay figured it out. They're bringing the protocol down here. It may take 20 years for us to fix it. But in the homeless population piece, has there been a city or has there been some model to follow about what has worked? And I remember in St. Petersburg, I lived in St. Petersburg. I went to college over there. I remember in St. Petersburg, we had a tent city. I mean, there was an actual section of town, and they just called it the Tent City. And everybody had tents, and it was very communal in a lot of regards. But the city had a problem because it was always dirty and, you know, it wasn't kept up and all of those things. So there were challenges with it. I'm not saying it was perfect. But is there a city out there that's figured it out or come up with some better solutions than we have?
So I don't know of a city that really exemplifies a great example of that, but I know you mentioned St. Pete, and I will say that St. Pete's done a really good job of increasing affordable housing. They have embraced some more innovative solutions. We're co-sponsoring with the cities and the county the Affordable Housing Summit, which this is the second year in a row for that, and that is May 31st. It's going to be at the Space Coast Convention Center. And the woman who heads the St. Pete area housing initiatives will be one of the speakers there, and she's wonderful. So I think it takes those innovative solutions to housing and being willing to think outside the box a little bit. For example, the use of community land trusts is a huge thing. I think finding ways to do more affordable construction, whether that's,
Modular homes,
container homes. There are all kinds of possibilities, but
I got real excited when I looked on Amazon and I saw you could buy a house for $20,000, because you can. You can buy the whole piece. You got to know how to put it together. It's like Lincoln Logs.
I can't even do IKEA. Okay, so let's but anyway.
Yeah. Right. So there's that challenge.
Yeah.
But those innovative solutions are definitely where we're going to be, for the future. So those of you who are listening here on Viewpoint with Sita Friends, you're listening on 1510 WWBC, 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. We're talking with Drew Warren, who's the Executive Director of Community of Hope, and Kayla Manning, who is the Realtor?
Director
of Real Estate Operations. Much better title. Much better title. And we're talking about solutions for homelessness in Brevard County. So make sure you check out their website, which I want to give you an opportunity to talk about, give one more plug for some of the events and the teaching and the website and all of those great things.
Say the number slowly.
Okay. The website is www.hopeofbrevard.com, and the phone number is 321-474-0966.
So call that number if you're feeling like you're a couple of weeks away from homelessness, if you're 6 months away from homelessness, if you're what type of services can you provide for someone that would call in?
So now we actually do have shelter services there on a contractual basis. We're working with the school board, but we have shelter services. We have housing services. Probably the best way to contact us for those, though, is through email, and you can access our email through our website. That's okay. The easiest way to contact us for those things.
As far as the classes and so forth go, what are the classes are based around?
Yep. So I mentioned the Rise Up Titusville. We received a grant from the city of Titusville to do these. But we have done Good Tenancy, and right now we're starting Health and Wellness. So this month we'll be doing, mental health. We have a doctor coming in to discuss, physical health. We also have a nutritionist at the end of the month. So we'll be doing Eating the Rainbow. So she'll be talking about.
Oh, yeah. I love the Eating the Rainbow talk.
Yeah.
That's my favorite
one. Then next month is Positive Parenting, and we go all the way till the end of September. Those classes are Mondays, 3:30 to 4:30 at the Harry T. Moore Social Services Center in Titusville, Florida, except every Monday except when there's a holiday.
All right. There you go.
They're closed.
So Hope of Brevard.
.com
is where you want to make sure that you check out, and if you can support, if you can donate, the all of that information is right there on the website. Very easy to find. Thank you, Drew and Kayla, for educating us on Community of Hope and all of the great things that you're doing here in Brevard County for our citizens. We are going to take a quick commercial break and listen to our sponsors here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine-in or takeout as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, Space and Treasure Coast, to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. This is not Sita. This is Ellen, the co-host for the last 15 years. Sita is off vacationing, looking at beautiful things across the big lake that we have, that big old lake. We had a great first segment with Drew Warren and Kayla Manning from Community of Hope, and got some great education about the programs and the events that they have going on in order to make sure that no child is homeless in Brevard County. That is a great mission statement. And along those same lines, we have our great friends, our returning partners from Eckerd Connects, Talia Bryant. It's so good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
And Lee McElroy. It's great to have you as well. And we're going to talk our second segment about Eckerd Connects and all of the great things that you're doing in Brevard County. And of course, the youth services organization piece, whenever you think about youth services organization, I always think of Eckerd Connects. So you've done a great job of getting the word out there in Brevard County. But let's tell our folks here listening in on 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7 right here in Brevard County. Let's tell them a little bit more about you, about how you got connected, how you both got connected to Eckerd Connects, and a little bit about the organization.
Sounds good.
No arm wrestling, please. Just right. Whoever wants to go first.
I'll jump in. So I'm Lee, and I've been with Ecker Connects for almost 10 years this year. That's how long we've been working together.
Yeah.
And so we are a yin and a yang to what we do. You'll hear more in a little bit about how we call ourselves the perfect pair. And we've developed a fundraiser around that idea. So I am representing the youth side of what we do. We are deep into prevention services. A lot of people don't know what prevention is, but we have an ultimate goal of preventing our youth from using substances and leading to, you know, future substance use disorder and some of the challenges that we know adults face when they have that issue as part of their story. My story, I came here also 10 years ago, had a husband that relocated for a job here, as we see over the last decade, all the new jobs that have come in. I'm part of that crew. I've always worked in the nonprofit sector, and so as soon as we kind of settled in, I started looking for a way to be involved in this beautiful community, and Ecker Connects opened their door to me, and you know, I got to witness just some really incredible services with adults and families and youth, and I've been a part of it since that day, and I've been a big part of how we've grown. We're now in two counties with our prevention services, and we're up to 14 schools that we support.
Excellent. Amazing.
And Talia, you are a also a licensed mental health counselor. And
I am.
Certified and all of that. And also, what is your role at Ecker Connects?
So I'm the other part of the perfect pair. So Lee is prevention. I'm family services. I'm the area manager of our family services programs. So I oversee our housing program, where we help to rehouse individuals and families experiencing homelessness in Brevard. So we provide financial assistance and case management. And then we have a parenting education program for individuals that are in recovery for substance abuse. And then we have a supportive supervised visitation program in Volusia, Putnam, and Flagler County, where we work with families that have been involved with DCF. So the children have been removed from the home due to abuse and neglect, and we facilitate, you know, those visits and advocate for the families where it's appropriate. So I've been with Eckert for 14 years. I started with Eckert as a therapist for their therapeutic supervised visitation program. I think 4 years after working for Eckert, I think I was promoted to supervisor and then kind of worked my way up from there.
So the foundation of Eckert, I worked for Eckert Drugs as a 15-year-old, 16-year-old at Seminole Square Mall.
I
remember Eckert Drugs.
Before there was the Walgreens,
that's right.
There was the CVS, there was the Eckert Drugs.
Yep. And I said the Eckert family was so good. They were, you know, I studied about them when I at 16.
That's right.
And they were so involved in family events, family help, family everything, even back then. Even like in the, I don't even want to say how old I am.
Yeah, but you're right.
Even way back then.
People are familiar with the name when they see Eckert. And believe it or not, every now and then we still get a phone call asking about a prescription.
Excellent.
I do have to break the news to them that we are no longer providing that service. But we are very blessed to be a part of that legacy.
The irony of that, though, I have to say,
absolutely,
that you're trying to keep people off of drugs and they're calling about prescriptions is hysterical.
We lead them right into other services. But we are, you know, we're really blessed to be a part of that legacy with Jack and Ruth Eckert. And those are the beginnings, you know, of the name that you're so familiar with, the pharmacy. And from, you know, their pharmacy becoming later CVS, they were able to pour into their community. And in Eckert's original nonprofit days, we were wilderness camps that were really all along the eastern seaboard. Those camps started to change in the early 2000s, and Eckert started to diversify into other community service programs. Today, we are a national nonprofit. We are in over 20 states. One of our largest contract types is workforce, which, when we're talking about housing, I don't know that there's anything more important than stabilizing our workforce. And so I'm proud that Eckerd is achieving that in so many states across our country and helping young adults, those that are not following a traditional educational path, but getting them into job training, certifications, job placement, and continuing to grow families in that way so that they can have stable housing, which I think we all agree is the foundation to your future. Here
Maslow's
in
hierarchy of needs, right?
Yes.
It brings it right back.
Mm-hmm. And here in Brevard, you know, we are unique in that we're not the workforce program here, but we are a wraparound service with our families for housing support and with our youth for substance use prevention. And when you put all of that together, the goals still line up, is to, you know, make sure our families do follow a path of success and Eboli have a hopeful future.
I'm concerned too about the availability of THC in gas stations now, and the fact that the national reports and so forth are saying that 16 and 17 year olds are able to access it because they don't necessarily have to have an ID that tells them that they're a certain age in order to purchase it. And it makes it so much easier, the availability of it. So is that one of the bigger challenges that you all are, the Delta 9, right? Isn't that what they're calling it now?
But there are several challenges that we're facing right now with substance use in that landscape. So access is one challenge. Myths, misunderstanding the facts behind substance use. And I would say the most important thing we can tell our youth and our parents is we have to look at brain development. And brain development does not happen until mid-20s. So any substances used before the brain is developed can alter the brain in a way to cause lifelong issues. Also in that drug landscape, we've been through a pretty chronic opioid crisis, the epidemic that we've been facing since around 2009. And we thought, you know, it would peak and we would stabilize, but instead we've replaced it with fentanyl. And fentanyl's become a massive issue with our youth. We really have to educate about not experimenting. There's a huge danger to experimenting right now because you just do not know what is in the product that you were told was safe, that you were told came from someone's prescription or from somebody that could be trusted. You know, and fentanyl can end your life instantly. And no sooner have we educated ourselves on fentanyl that we have, you know, new products coming right behind fentanyl, right through those gateways. And so that landscape is moving at a really fast speed, and we have to be beside our youth and educate them consistently so that we can prevent the future issues that can destabilize their lives.
When I had friends that were teachers that were coming home and telling me that they got Narcan educated at school to help for a child that could have overdosed in their classroom, I was like, wow, we have hit a whole different level of things that I wouldn't have expected, right? It is real. So what are some of the things that that Eckerd Connects? I know you're doing so many things, but what are some of the primary things that you're doing as a result of this exact conversation?
So I like to tell people that you hear within our industry, but also outside of just community services, you hear people saying now, let's go upstream. Upstream means let's get to the root of the issue or get there before there's an issue. And I would say, Talia and I, we are that. We are upstream. We are with youth services. It doesn't get any earlier than preventing. Yeah. So we're working with youth as young as third grade, and we are providing strength-based skills. So that's a new idea for a lot of people. Some of us grew up in the just say no era.
Right, yeah. Right.
Guess what?
Yeah.
It didn't work.
It didn't work. Yeah, it didn't work.
Lots of research, about 20 years of research, showed it did not work. And so what works is giving kids true strengths, like strengthening them from the inside out. So that's what our program does. We give them life skills, and we teach them appropriate information about how substance use affects their bodies. And then, you know, I'd love to hand it over to Talia because she, you know, sees it from the adult perspective.
Well, and just one piece of that, of the adults that might have been using when they were pregnant with the children that are now in school, right? I mean, obviously there's an impact there as well. It seems so overwhelming, but thank you so much for heading this up and making this seem a little easier. A little easier, maybe.
So with our housing program, in order to qualify to receive services, you have to have had some type of substance use history. And a lot of people that approach us and they don't know, like, what our criteria is, they may get offended by that. You know, like, what do you mean I have to be a drug addict in order for you to help me? Well, no, what we did, like the money that we received to do what we do, is a SAMHSA grant, so Substance Abuse and Mental Health. And what we decided was to use that money for individuals, you know, that were experiencing homelessness. So it's substance abuse money, right? So we don't necessarily have any services to address the addiction. What we do is we refer. So we have great partners in the community. Our system of care is really good. If there's somebody that wants to go to treatment, we can pay for that treatment. So we're able to send them, if they're willing to go. We can pay for detox, we can pay for inpatient treatment, and then, you know, work with them to house them once they come out of treatment. So we have some relationships with some of the centers in Orlando where people are coming out of the treatment facilities, and they come out of the treatment facility straight to us, and we're able to, you know, rehouse them. We also work with some of the sober living homes in Brevard. And so we have our parenting education program as well. And it's specifically a curriculum. It's a nurturing parenting curriculum, but it's for individuals that are in recovery. And so they need to repair those relationships that have been destroyed, you know, through substance use. And so we're there to help them, you know, become a better person, not necessarily to teach them to be a better parent, but to be a better person. Because if you're a better person, then you will be, you know, a better parent.
Well, just a better human.
A
general,
better human.
Right? Right? Just add more value. So for your programs, really strictly around the substance abuse, if we go back to what we talked about in the first segment with Drew, if you're homeless because you're not working enough or you're underemployed or one of those types of things, that would be Community of Hope, right? So what a great show that we have today, because we're hitting two segments of folks that are really challenged, you know, challenged with a internal thought of, you know, how bad am I, right? Mm-hmm. That whole self-awareness piece of that I don't want to go get help because I'm embarrassed, the stigma of drug abuse, and then the stigma of being underemployed or not employed for that matter. So what a great organization. So tell us a little bit about some of the things that you have going on right now, some of the events you have that are coming up.
So I mentioned it earlier.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, so we like to call ourselves the perfect pair. And that is the name of our event. We felt like it was a really good way to impress upon our supporters that we are a pair of services and that we truly are offering what is often called wraparound. You know, serving the youth is great, but if we're not helping our parents, right, where is it going to continue? And vice versa, we're helping our parents, but if we're not talking to our kids about protecting themselves from substance use, we're not helping to stop that cycle. So the Perfect Pair this year is our second annual event. We have a really cool theme. We are 007 this year. It's a casino night. We are looking forward to dressing up. And we love that we get to have fun, right? You come in, you're not gambling your money away. You're just playing with gaming vouchers, and you turn those in at the end of the night and get raffle tickets. We have amazing raffle prizes this year. Mm-hmm. I think we're up to almost 30 raffle baskets. Yeah. So I'd love to encourage the listeners to consider joining us Friday night. Our doors are going to open at 6. The fun casino games will start at 7. You have to be present to take home your raffle prize.
Good, excellent.
Around 9 p.m. that night. They can get information about our event few different ways. So website is there. It is Eckerd, eckerd.org/perfect pair. We also have two very busy Facebook pages. So we have Eckerd Connects Prevention Services, and then we have
Eckerd Connects Family Services.
You can follow either of both pages and see a lot of information as well about our event. There's a social media event opportunity where you can click it and find out about tickets. We do have tickets to sell. It's $125 admission, and that's money all staying here in this community and helping us with our family needs and our youth needs. You can decide, hey, I can't make it, but I will make a donation.
The button is right above it.
It is right there.
Right above it.
And to sponsors, it's not too late. We will welcome you as well. So you can sponsor, you can donate, or you can buy tickets. Just come hang out with us. Come meet the perfect pair in person and take home a really phenomenal raffle basket.
Did you tell us where this is going to be?
It is going to be in Melbourne, Florida at the Space Coast Realtors Association facility, which is also called Oasis at Palms.
Mm-hmm. Palm Shores.
Yeah.
So three basic branches of your services at Eckerd Connects. Jobs and training, correct? Juvenile justice services as well, right?
Correct.
Family and children services, certainly prevention. I remember my sister actually created her own job in the state of New Jersey, and it was Prevention Connections, and she would go into middle schools and sort of like have weekly conversations with children, what they considered children at youth, or children at risk, I'm sorry.
Correct.
Children at youth, listen to me. That the truancy, based on truancy. So once they started becoming truant at the school or late or whatever, not showing up, they would have to start going to this group. And I just remember that as a fond memory because she feels now, 20 years later, these children who were children then are now in college, and she's starting to see the outcome of those things that are going on. What are some of the outcomes that are happening where Eckerd Connects is really seeing some traction?
So this year, just this year, we've had 3 youth success awards. Those success awards are paid for through private donations. So again, this is why we have our fundraiser. But we have one student that did so well in our small group services where we're talking about communication skills and decision making and self-esteem that he spoke up about wanting to be an astronaut. And we felt like he deserved an opportunity after showing how much he had improved with school and with behavior. And so his award allowed him to have a 1-year pass to Kennedy Space Center for his family, some gas cards, some meal cards, and they've been enjoying that this year. We have another student that has been successful in our small groups this year, and he is an athlete, loves football. And his success award will allow us to pay for his football camp and outfit him from head to toe in football gear. As we know, that is a positive outlet. That is a good coping skill. Keep our kids involved in activities. And we have our third student who, again, the behavior improvements were substantial. We had teachers coming up to us that could not believe that the student would stay in his seat and ask and say, like, I need some time to myself before I can come back to this. And so he was nominated, and they will receive, it's really a respite trip for his family to go and enjoy Universal Studios. They've never stayed in a hotel. Mm-hmm. They've never been to Universal. And, you know, we'll share some of these successes at our event. But I have to tell you, I tell my staff, get to do the fun stuff. We get to teach the things that really stick with our kids, and you have to have these things to do good in math and reading. So we're teaching the communication, the decision making, the self-esteem, refusal skills. A lot of our kids, they don't know what to do when that pressure is there and something is offered.
How to say no.
And sometimes they're surprised at all of the different options that they have. And then again, you know, teaching them that they have this within themselves. It's already there. We call it protective factors in our business, but we want to teach them going to school is a protective factor. Having good friends that help you make good decisions is a protective factor. Being involved in church is a protective factor. Having an activity, a sport, a hobby, all protective factors. And our goal is to help them see that and grow that from third grade through seniors in high school.
Well, and confidence and self-esteem is the product of that, right? After all of those things, going to church, having the right friends, staying involved in activities, all of those good things are fantastic right. ways of doing it. What a great story. What about from a residential standpoint? What are some of the great stories that have happened?
We have a lot of great stories. I just wanted to say that our mission is not complete without community support, community partnerships. I wanted to shout out some of our amazing community partners. So each year we're able to do an outreach for Thanksgiving and provide Thanksgiving meals for all of our families that we serve. And that's thanks to Locals Feeding Locals, a nonprofit agency that kind of partners with us to do that. For Christmas, we're able to do Christmas wish lists and go shopping for children that are in need, and that's thanks to a grant that we get from the Space Coast Association of Realtors. We partner with the Real Church every year to host the Laundry of Love, and that is a community outreach event where we are in three cities in Brevard. This year, we were in Cocoa, Melbourne, and Titusville. And two laundromats in Cocoa, and we were able to love on the community. We were able to pay for the community to do their laundry on us. And so it was a really rewarding, you know, event. We were able to serve over 115 people, wash and dry over 400 loads of laundry. And so that's all possible through community partnerships, through donations. So it's my hope that you would support us, you know, in these efforts to continue what we're doing in the community, serving our families.
Yeah, there's nothing more confidence building than finally getting clean laundry.
Yeah,
really. You know, you think about the self-esteem that comes and the dignity
restoring
that comes
dignity
with all of that.
And hope. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have 1 minute left. Well, I want you to give us a shout out for your website and make sure that you check out all the services that are on the Eckerd Connects page. Because you will not be disappointed. There's a litany of things that are on here that can help you out.
Go to Eckerd, Eckerd.org/perfect pair, or find us on Facebook and Instagram, Eckerd Connects Prevention Services and Eckerd Connects Family Services.
And I want to ask you both, because we're both still here, as far as from a referral standpoint, are you getting referrals from the community, right? So those of you who are out there that know the see something, say something, this is another one of those opportunities for you to see something and say something. And we've got two great community partners here, right here in Brevard County, trying to help out all of the citizens and the children to make sure that we have better lives for everybody that are here. So thank you both so much, both organizations, for coming. Kayla, Drew, Lee, and Talia, and of course Allie, my partner in crime here. Thank you so much for tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here in beautiful sunny Cocoa, Florida, 1510 WWBC, 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. We are here each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on this dial. Please tune in. See you next week.